Welcome to NFT Heat. We're bringing the top NFT thought leaders straight to you. If there's something you enjoyed on this episode, and we really hope you did, please take a screenshot of the episode and make sure to tag us on Twitter at NFT Heat. We really appreciate your support, and you are the only reason we're growing. So to help us, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll then give your review a shout out on a future episode. Welcome everybody to NFT Heat. Whether you're inside the industry or new to the NFT space or an NFT OG, we're gonna provide you with the necessary NFT alpha to crush. We're super excited, whether you're in DeFi, the metaverse, social tokens, blockchain games, we're here for you. John, you're looking at me. You know I'm the king of alpha, and I know you're the NFT machine. And I can tell you've got some twinkly stuff going on behind those eyes. We're getting into some fun stuff today. What are you feeling about this new shake it up? We're throwing things in, we're throwing some of the old stuff out. We're bringing some of the new stuff in.
I just like debating and yelling at you, so it's
perfect. Speaking of which, Mint It or Kick It, our fun new segment, your favorite topic, NFT influencers. What do you say? Are you going to mint them or are you going to kick them?
This is a tricky one. This is actually super tricky. I mean, I guess technically me and you are considered NFT influencers.
To some degree, yeah.
To some degree, it's tricky because on LinkedIn, you have the LinkedIn people,
yep.
And I'm predominantly on LinkedIn, and I feel like I'm advocating for trying to do things the right way.
Yep.
But, Twitter, super interesting. It seems like a lot of the influencers there were scammers, cash grabbers, liars, cheaters. Probably next on the SEC's hit list, right after Kim Kardashian. So, man, I am going to probably, I'm going to go down the middle on this one. I usually take a really strong stance, but it really depends. But I would say 99.9% of them, though, probably should be kicked to the curb. But there are some great ones. I think it's a small handful of people that you should really follow, like Kathy Hackle.
Amazing.
People like Asha Susan Cherian.
Incredible.
Jacob Berman.
Awesome. Yep.
Yourself.
Thank you. You too, John. You know what? I figured I'm going to stop asking you the question first because you're pretty much telling me exactly what I would say. So again, I've got to agree with you. For the influencers out there that are looking to onboard people properly through education, really laying the foundation properly, like you, the king of LinkedIn, really, truthfully being transparent versus the rug pullers that are out there only for cash grabs that are getting paid a ton of money to show projects. Those people, they gotta kick it, but for the folks out there, the influencers that are doing it the right way and really do care and are passionate about this space, I say mint them.
Mint them.
Mint them. All right?
Yeah.
So down the middle, all right, we're 1-1, I'm with you with that. Bull versus bear. Now we've got an incredible guest coming on the show today, so I wanted to kind of throw this topic out there. Yeah. Bull versus bear. Blockchain games, what do you think?
Definitely bull. I mean, that's just where all the growth's going to be. And that's what brands are looking for. They want to gamify these metaverse experiences that we're building at LandVault. It's like, I'm even going to start gamify actually the in real life events I'm hosting. So
Tell people about that, because that sounds super fun.
Now, we're going to host an event in London on November 2nd, the day before NFT NYC London. And we're going to game them. It'll be the first actual Web3 event that I know of that's actually gamified. So it's going to be at a private members club in London. There's going to be 4 different levels. And you actually have to go through each level and pass tests to get up to the next level. There's going to be real life debate. And people are going to vote on whether, people actually know what the hell they're talking about. Most people don't know what they're talking about. But, it's going to be almost like a real life Game of Thrones in Web3 at the event. But, gamification, that's the key to all the growth in space.
It is.
It's what people want. I mean, it's such an obvious thing.
Keeps it fun, keeps it light, super, super bull on blockchain games. I mean, look, you go into Fortnite, you go into any of these games, you spend a fortune, you can't sell it when you leave. The game owns it. I mean, that's why Ethereum was started by Vitalik. He would have never started ETH, but he was a gamer, and then the game took away a big portion of what he loved, and that he had no way to salvage all the money he had spent. It was gone. So he was like, forget that. I want to build something decentralized. I want to be able to take my NFTs. I want to take my games, and I want to have power and ownership over them. So super bull on it. I think we're in its infancy, right?
Boy,
we're in the baby steps right now. We're seeing a lot of these games that are just like basic. You press a button, it's play to earn, and nothing happens. But we have some powerhouses coming into this space. Speaking of powerhouses, we have a guest coming on right now who flew in from Dallas to be on the show, to be on NFT Heat in person, in the studio. We're so stoked. And he is building in his company Games the Right Way. We're going to hear all about it. Welcome to NFT Heat, Kyle Klemmer, COO of Met.com.
Hey guys.
What's up, buddy?
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Take a seat.
All right.
Welcome to the set. Welcome to the studio. We're thrilled to have you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for flying in and being on the show.
That is super cool.
Yes.
That's the way it needs to be going forward, I think.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, being in studio, we just get, I mean, there's such a better vibe, right? We're here, we get, like, we vibe with each other, and we learn so much more about what you're building and what you're up to in the space. Yeah. So we're stoked. And speaking of, like, what you're up to in the space, we want to first hear, how did you get into the NFT Metaverse Web3 space? You come from 14 years as an expert marketer in Web2, crushing it. Now you're running mech.com. Tell us about your background and how you got involved.
So a lot of it's the devil works in idle hands. So, I mean, I've been in the marketing space 14, 15 years now, traditional and then digital. And how I got into really crypto projects was I have a real estate investment company in Dallas. Scaled that to where I was working a couple hours a week, and I just started hearing about meme coins. And, you know, like a lot of people, I got into the space, a lot of bad actors, got my teeth kicked in pretty good.
Yeah.
But I started studying it to see kind of where I fit in. And I started to immerse myself in the community. I'm a huge community guy, researching the types of questions the community was asking. And kind of from there, I started to see how I could provide value to projects. And, you know, as fate would have it, got brought into a project that ended up going to $3.5 billion market cap.
Wow.
Serious.
And, you know, because I was an active member in the community, just, you know, like everybody, suddenly, you know, your 15 minutes of fame comes. And I was able to repeat that success across a couple projects. And I realized, you know, like, meme projects are great. A lot of, like, there are good ones, and then there are not so good ones. And I wanted to start kind of moving up the chain to better projects. And it just so happened, literally October of last year, I met Trey Smith, CEO of Mech, came from Buildbox.com, has been in the game creation space for 15, 16 years. And he came to me with a different project, and I was like, I'm kind of burnt out on projects like that. It was kind of like an anti-Reddit, like a subreddit group, and I was like, do you have anything else you're working on? He goes, we just minted 1,000 of these Mech NFTs. And he goes, I actually own Mech.com. So like you were just talking about earlier, like that's the best IP ever.
That thing's got to be worth $10 million on its own, Mech.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm literally standing in the MGM Grand at a real estate conference, and I pull up Mech.com, and I text my partner who's on the call with us, and I was like, I will sell my soul to be on this project. Mm-hmm. Took me 7 phone calls to convince him not to do the other project and go all in on Mech. Because he's like, I had a successful exit from a video game company. Like, he needed to get back into space.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I joined the project November of last year, and it has really kind of taken on a life of its own. We've been fortunate enough to bring in some big investors. You know, Polygon is one of our largest investors. Very, very good to us. And I've been hearing you talk about them as well.
Yeah.
They got their hands in some really awesome things. So to be on the cutting edge with them and to be one of their larger projects is really good. But, you know, we're doing some interesting things in the space, you know, really focusing on utility and putting hands into the community and the creators to, you know, take the game to where they want to go with it.
Amazing. And so tell us, like, what is your current role as COO of Mech.com? What's your day-to-day like? What's your vision and strategy? Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, like, as COO, I like to think of, like, Trey as, like, a hot air balloon and I'm the tether. So, you know, because he's so insanely smart and has a lot of experience in the industry. And for me, it's really executing and bringing to life, you know, what he wants to do. So, you know, initially it was the fundraise. So we raised $6.6 million for the project. And in the midst of a bear market, I kind of wish we were a little bit earlier because some of those projects, it was like we had this idea that right on a bar napkin and then $20 million later, they got a project.
Yep.
You know, we had to work for it, and that was okay because we have a very experienced team. So really learning how to build a solid cap table because, you know, I had raised money for real estate. That's a little bit different. But when you start raising money in this space, you just can't take a check.
Yeah.
You have to, the people that are giving you money need to provide value, and you have to be able to kind of see through. They'll sell you the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then they cut the check and like, hello, are you there? And they're not. So, you know, it's really forging those alliances. And now, you know, as we're about to launch the game in the next like 45 to 60 days, it's now really focusing on partnerships, things to grow the community. So actually just yesterday, we inked a deal with TikTok. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
wow.
Huge.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's like breaking news.
So how's that like work? Is Mech going to be on TikTok? Like,
yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, I've seen TikTok over the years. You know, they're really an emerging platform. I love what they're doing, especially in the crypto space. So, ironically, Mech was the very first partner with Google. So we were running, so all of our NFTs have been sold using US dollar. We haven't done any crypto sales because we're just, you know, digital marketers at the end of the day. And so we've used US dollar for all of our NFT drops. We've done 11 of them, sold them all out. So really proud of that. The thing was, is if you get an email from Google and Google is like, we think we're gonna get shut down because we're going against their platform. And they say, hey, we're actually looking for a metaverse project for us to reshape our advertising policies. Mm-hmm. We want you to be our first project.
Wow.
And
amazing.
So, yeah.
Huge.
And so we've been working with Google for 9 months. And then, yeah, as fate would have it, TikTok, redoing their NFT advertising policy, reaches out and they're like, we would love to partner with you guys. And so we share with them what our metrics were on Google, and they're like, okay, cool, we want to take a very active role in the type of content you put out, come up with different campaigns to supplement your ad spend, and really, you know, help push you guys forward. You know, there's a couple strong projects that they're working with. And so, yeah, that was surreal. You
That's
know,
huge.
You get a lot of random emails in your inbox, yeah. And then it's just like, you know, when the head of gaming from TikTok emails you, you're like, okay. Like, this,
wow.
What's going on with this?
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's the thing. We're in a really interesting space, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of interesting and new opportunities that come up at a breakneck speed. And so, you know, for me, it's really making sure that we're aligning with the right people, that we're, you know, pushing forward our initiatives, taking care of the community. At the same time, you know, because, you know, you battle a constant wave of press in the space. You know,
right.
You're talking about influencers and how they, you know, certain bad actors, you know, I invested in the project that Kim K shilled, not because of her, not
yeah,
because of
yeah.
her, but I remember, you know, being in the Telegram like, yes, and then the price dropped immediately. So yeah, that was an interesting experience. And so, you know, taking those experiences that I've had with bad actors and making sure that we take the utmost care of the community and really doing everything you can to separate yourself and just, one, educate the community, because the thing that I've learned and what's made me successful in crypto projects is that the reason why people get scared in investments, and the same goes with stocks, is that when they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you educate them as to what's happening, how they're experiencing it, and you just let them know, like, there's a process. This is going to be the craziest roller coaster ride you've ever been on. I highly suggest you don't put any money in that you're not willing to lose.
Yep.
And, you know, because if that keeps you up at night, you're in the wrong space.
Yep.
But, you know, being able to walk the community through that, because then as the project grows, those initial adopters are going to be your evangelists. Like, they're going to be the ones that really help push retail adoption, get you to virality when you're putting out content, you know, and especially with games. Like, gaming especially is 100% community driven,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's very much, if you build it, they will come. So it's like, you've got to have a really good game that's got good playability, good replayability, and at the same time, a community that understands the vision, understanding what it's all about, and really kind of gets involved in it. And so we've taken a lot of that input and shaped what we're doing with Mech around community feedback. And so, you know, we're excited to see where the game goes.
Yeah.
So cool.
I
so
love
cool.
it. So for all the novices out there, I mean, can you break down what Mech is? Because, I mean, a lot of our listeners are, you know, for the first time into like Web3 NFTs. And how do you guys plan to like revolutionize Web3 gaming?
That's a great question. So, you know, it's one, we look at, so I coined the phrase crypto casual. So hyper casual and Web2, crypto casual be the thing. And this is, so when we look at the type of game that we're making, one, there's going to be a match 3 minigame. So we want games that are easy to understand that you can play standing in line at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we learned from the initial waves of games coming into the space is that they were shooting at AAA right away. And if you know anything about the regular gaming space, the survivability of a AAA like RPG MMO game is like 0.01% just in that landscape. Now when you add clunky Web3 technology to that, the chance of success is even lower. Mm. And so for us, we didn't want to go too far down one road. And thankfully, our background is in like mobile games, so easy to play games. So we have the Match 3 minigame. The next, we have a Battle Royale. And so that's just your top down. It looks and feels a lot like Command & Conquer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like high fidelity, you get real good, you know, it's immersive, but it's fun, it's addicting, it makes you want to play over and over again. We've got a couple different games that we're going to be putting out. Those are your mid-core games. So for us, because we have such a track record of developing games, we didn't want to go too far in one direction with the game. We want to be able to pivot. So we, again, listening to the community, letting them, you know, hey, we don't like this Battle Royale. We want a more Rocket League style game. Awesome. Cool. We can develop that. 3 weeks, we'll come out with it. We can hit on something. And so like, when you're taking care of your investor and you're taking care of your community, listening to them and giving them what they want, it just increases your chance of success. So that was one thing. The second part of it, you know, and I've talked to you guys a little bit about this off stage, is that, you know, my partners created BuildBox.com, which is the largest no-code game engine, and it was really made because Trey doesn't know how to code and make video games. So Nick Rudenko, our CTO, has AAA experience and is really just a savant when it comes to gaming. And so Trey would watch Nick make a game, and he would be like, well, hey, can you just make sliders so like I can say how high to jump and do these things? We're taking those tools, and because, you know, they've had, you know, over 1 billion downloads from people who've created games on BuildBox, and they exited that and are now focusing on the metaverse. And so what we're doing is we're taking those easy to use tools and we're putting them inside of Mech. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving the people in our community the chance to make in-game NFTs. We're giving them the chance to be able to make their own games. You know, one of the stories that they talk about, the game called Color Switch on the App Store, mm-hmm. was the game made over $100 million. It was made by a guy by the name of David Reichel. He was a parking attendant. He used BuildBox, used nothing but the basic settings, and created a game that made over $100 million in the App Store.
Wow. Huge.
And so, yeah, and we want to be able to give people within the Mech community that ability. And so by being able to outfit them with those tools to really, we come up with the initial styles of gameplay, and then after that, it's the community, and they're the ones that are building it. So now they have the incentive to participate, and they can play and earn. And now they're the ones that are making revenue off of the games that they create. You know, for us, we look at ourselves, like when we look at Web3, the people who facilitate growth, who facilitate creation, are going to be the ones to win. And that's where we really see ourselves fitting in. Is it?
I love this. So yeah. Cool. Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's so cool. My next question was about, like, describe these creator tools, which you've gone into a little bit from BuildABox,
yeah.
But can you even dive in a little bit more specifically? Like, how do they use these tools on your platform to actually create the games? Like, what are those tools? Because it's amazing.
Right, right. So there's a couple different tools. So one, there's like an NFT creator tool. So like we call it like the gun builder. So like when I like paint the picture for people, I was like, if you're familiar with Steam and Counter-Strike, how they can make the skins, mm-hmm. this will be the same thing. So you're going to have different sliders on there that will have different attachments for the guns. So we have different presets and things that they'll be able to use. They can alter the color. They can, you know, change the type of gun, which type of mech it connects to. You know, real easy to use that way. So like that's the NFT builder. One, when we came out with land, and so like that was one of the things that we had a really deep conversation about, is because you see a lot of these projects, they've done land sales, kind of cash grabs. And one of the things that we really soured on with the earlier projects is that they were talking about utility that they really didn't have the ability to deliver on. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these companies, they we're gonna do this, and really their whole premise behind that was, okay, we're going to raise enough money, try to do a land grab, bring in somebody who can do it, and implement it fast enough before the SEC and other people come down on us. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we don't feel good about that. And so really, it's funny, when we first came out with Mech, the creator tools and the giving people the ability to create wasn't even on our radar. And it was, you know, conversation between Trey, Nick, and I was like, dude, we're not going to do land just as a cash grab. We need to give it some sort of utility. And so the land itself, that's kind of the barrier to entry, so to speak, to be able to build the games. Because then, you know, this kind of prevents people who aren't committed to building it. And I mean, sure, the land was like $500. So, I mean, not a ton, you know, no different than a subscription somewhere, because the tools will be free to use within the game itself. So when you buy the land, you can actually terraform it. So we have a tool that you can do roads and water and mountains and trees, and then a building creator. So a building creator that's like, it slides, it scales, and you can change things, and you can dictate the type of building it is. So is it a game arena? Is it a weapons shop? Is it an armor shop? So essentially these people are creating the assets in like an RPG type game, but with these tools.
And so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you've sold out a lot of drops in this bear market. How did you do it?
Yeah. So we did three land sales in August. 300 parcels each. None of them lasted more than 20 minutes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Wow.
We actually got featured in a news station in Australia out of the blue. like our community kept talking like, cool, like you completely ripped that off from our Google ad, but ads are working. And the same thing, you know, we did then eight drops prior to as well. And really it comes down to community. Like that is, especially in the bear market, being able to explain people what we're doing, the mechanics of the game. And honestly, you know, I think one of the things that really helped us differentiate, the fact that my partners have, you know, a decade and a half of experience of delivering on these tools that they're saying. Like I've consulted other projects and I was like, well, what's your experience delivering on what you're talking about? You know, like everyone wants to talk about building a metaverse game. It's freaking hard. It really is if you don't know how to do it. Like I see our development team and I was like, whew, I'm glad like I don't have to run that team. And so, you know, it was really a big focus on community, growing people. You know, we're our Google ads. So, I mean, we spent $750,000 on Google ads, did $4 million in sales.
Wow.
From that. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
And so, yeah, really happy with that. And what that allowed us to do is get exposure. Mm-hmm. And once they got into the community, explaining to them what they're doing, one of the things that we do quite a bit is Twitter spaces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, myself, my team, Trey, we'll do AMAs with the community. Mm-hmm. Our community managers will actually get into other Twitter spaces and just talk about the project. And so it's, you know, humanizing yourself and just going that extra step to continually educating a new audience. Because, you know, anyone who knows anything about marketing, it's about touch points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we might tell someone the same thing 10 times, but on that 10th time, they're coming over to the Mech community. And that was something that we felt really strongly about with our partnership with TikTok, is that now we can leverage creators and content in that TikTok space, you know, in ways that we can't, because TikTok has really done a good thing of like getting a lot of organic expansion and has done a good job of capturing eyeballs of people. So, you know, we're working with different creators. Now we're working with TikTok to just really start pushing out educational messages about Mech. This is what we're doing. This is kind of why we're different. This is why you want to come with us.
Amazing. So cool. So, you know, we're looking just like you about onboarding the next, you know, 100, 200 million people into the NFT Web3 space. You guys are focused on that as well. What do you think are going to be the most important tools that we can use? Is mobile going to be a big driver for mass adoption? Obviously gaming is. What are your thoughts on that?
So, you know, that's a great question. And it's something that we ask ourselves a lot, because that's going to be what sets us up as a winner. So one of the interesting things about Mech is we're a web-based game. So we're both mobile and desktop. So one of the things that we've learned over years of being in the mobile space is that, you know, working cohesively with Google and Apple on their app stores is pretty tough. And as we just saw, Apple doubled down, was it 2 weeks ago? We're going to get our 30%. And so, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't even get 30% of Mech's profits, let alone Apple. And so the other thing too is that because crypto and Web3 is honestly far more global than we, you know, I think Axie Infinity did a really good job of showing us the different parts of the world that really heavily participate. And so we took that to heart and we're just like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do a web-based game. So anybody that has the internet can play this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we've tested it all the way down to iPhone 5. I think iPhone 6 is still the most widely used iPhone in the world. But, you know, when you talk about adoption, one of the things that I'm and we actually have started to work with some companies here is wallet creation. Like, that's something that scares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working with a provider that you can use your Gmail address to set up a wallet. So making the experience more Web 2, I think that's really how you bring people on and lowering the barrier to entry. And so we've started to work with a lot of technology that is giving the look and the feel of Web 2 and bringing it to Web 3, because we feel like that's going to be, you know, games that aren't complicated to play and then making them really, really easy to play and adopt. It is going to be what ushers people into the space. You know, I want my mom to be able to play mech and have no idea that she's playing a crypto-based game.
You love it.
That's great. The key. That's the key to mass adoption. They won't even know it. They, like that. I write about it all the time. I'm like, that's the key. That's the key. When somebody's mom or grandma is interacting with this technology, then you know you've won.
Mm-hmm. We're there. We're there. Incredible. I mean,
it's amazing. It's exciting. This is like having real builders that really understand customer behavior and what, you know, I mean, it's like, that's inclusivity. Like, honestly, like, it's so funny. This first phase was all about community and inclusivity, but it was the most exclusive thing ever. Like, it was like, there were so many barriers and I mean, it's just like, it's not even fun. Like, this old school method to even buy an NFT.
Yeah.
Who enjoys that process? I mean, you have to have like an engineering degree to even figure it out.
Totally.
So, yeah, I love what you're doing. It's exciting. I mean, obviously, like I always say, all the people that have been building over the last year and a half, you haven't heard about it because they've been building.
That's right.
You don't have time to be throwing like DJ parties with Steve Aoki and Dylan Francis and Tiesto and Diplo. Yeah, I mean, you know, you've been building.
They're in the trenches.
Yeah. So,
it's amazing.
So where can people find you on social media and Mech and all the exciting things you're doing?
Yeah. So, you know, at MechNFT is our handle on Instagram, on Twitter, Mech.com, the best IP in crypto.
Incredible.
You know, you can find us there. You know, I'm at K Klemmer everywhere. You know, I was out of my laziness. I'm not Doxxed or Anonymous online, so I'm just Kyle Klemmer everywhere. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
it's good.
Emphasis on doing good work and being honest.
It's important.
Really, it's nice that you actually go by your name. Like,
right.
I mean, some of our guests, I'm like, what's that name?
Right.
I'm just like, Dr. Death 7257. I'm just like, all right.
0.00.
Writing that down.
Yeah, writing that down.
This is great, man. Kyle, you brought the heat. You brought alpha. Explained stuff. As John said, I mean, you and your team have been building, reducing the friction. So you're lowering the barrier to entry so that you're onboarding folks into the space. That's what we preach about, and you're actually doing it. So amazing. Yeah. Thank you for flying in.
Yeah, that is that right there. I mean, that he's guest of the year or guest of
honor. No doubt.
I mean, no doubt. That is dedication.
And by the way, before we end the episode, we want to do something fun with you where we actually are going to mint an NFT live.
Okay.
And it will be released once the episode comes out, but we're going to see it now. So we're using our fun AI generator, DALL-E.
Yeah.
So give us like 3 to 5 words. We'll put it in the machine. Producer will work his magic, and then voila, we'll have it.
So to stay on brand, I'd say a mech robot takes a trip to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. That's
cool.
All right. What do we got?
That sounds like a fun trip. Oh,
that is so cool.
That is so cool. There's like the Hollywood sign in the back.
It's kind of like this 80s little, you know.
That robot is living its best life.
Yeah,
Working on his tan. Wow, look at that.
That is fantastic.
That is cool. That is really cool.
That is super cool.
I'm in love with this DALL-E. This DALL-E is amazing.
It's so fun. So fun.
Yeah.
So when your episode comes out, everybody hop on. You'll be able to get this 101 that Kyle created with NFT Heat. It'll be out there for you. And thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah,
you brought
the
heat. You brought alpha. Yeah. Sensational episode.
Amazing.
And we're going to end it. And when we end it, since you're in studio, we're all going to end it with NFT Heat. So you'll hear it. I'll do my little wrap up and then we'll all NFT Heat. So
let's do it.
Everybody, thank you so much for watching this incredible episode. Kyle brought so much alpha. He came down from Dallas. We really appreciate it. Explain gaming and mech.com is where it's at. Go check it out. ApeIn, it is a sensational platform. This is like the beginning. The sky is the limit for you guys, for sure. Stay tuned next week. We'll have another NFT thought leader popping in with more alpha. In the meantime, continue learning, growing, and seeking alpha. We're
NFT.
A huge thank you to two of the creative engines behind this show. First, to LaFlex for the super smooth intro and outro music. What you're hearing is the song Love to You off his 2019 album, Flex Appeal. And lastly, a big thank you to Bernardo Rodriguez for the awesome logo for the show. You can check him out on Instagram at Art of Bernardo. Everyone, we just want to give you a massive thank you for listening to NFT Heat. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at NFT Heat, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.